Emma Oates is married to Steve, and together they run a touring caravan park in a pretty village in North Yorkshire, where they live with their dog, cat, and a variety of outdoor animals. Now, Emma and Steve also have two children, Tom and Katie, who are both living with Bardet-Biedl syndrome, which is a rare genetic disorder with highly variable symptoms, which can include retinal degeneration. And Emma Oates joins me now. Hi, Emma.
Hi there.
It sounds like you live in a really lovely part of the country.
We do. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, live in a little North Yorkshire village.
Are you in amongst the hills?
We're kind of in between the dales and the moors. So we're sort of not too. We're about 17 miles from York.
So you must get all the weather then.
We get, you name it. It's Yorkshire. We can cope with anything.
So tell us a little bit about Bardet-Biedl syndrome then.
It's a very rare autosomal recessive gene, which 1 in 2,000 women carry and 1 in 2,000 men carry, and that's Steve and I. So we're not, we don't have the syndrome, we just carry it, but we have passed it on to both of our children. So it's it affects, even though it's quite a rare condition, there's quite a lot of different variants within it, and everybody's affected slightly differently, and even my two have got the same mutation, are affected quite differently, but they both have the vision loss.
So tell us a little bit about how it does affect Tom and Katie then.
So Katie, she's registered blind. She's at Mainstream College doing animal care, and she's also had a kidney transplant, which is a direct result of BBS. But she's great. She's very very outgoing and very doesn't let anything hold her back. And Tom, he's 22, and he's just secured a supported apprenticeship with the National Trust. So he's working at our local National Trust property, which is absolutely brilliant. It's the first time the Trust have offered supported apprenticeship to anybody. So he's also registered blind, and his eyes are actually slightly worse than Katie's, and he's on the waiting list for a guide dog. So they're just getting on with stuff, really. They're great.
When Tom was diagnosed with Bardet-Biedl syndrome, did you know anything about the condition?
Not absolutely, came as a complete bolt out of the blue. And he was 7. He wasn't diagnosed till he was 7. So I just thought I'd done most things wrong. And he was sent off for, well, we were offered genetic testing when he was just before his 7th birthday, in case they'd missed anything. And I just thought that we're going to come back and say we haven't missed anything, and this is just the way he is. And I think all those tests took about between 2 and 3 months, and I was called back in, and they told me that, well, they were 99% certain that he'd got this condition called Bardet-Biedl syndrome, which I'd never ever heard of. And I then went and researched it, and when I started reading up about it, it was just as if all the research was written about Tom. He just fitted it perfectly. So yeah, it was a bit of a shock.
Did you go through that feeling of, I know you mentioned there, you're thinking you've done something wrong. There's a kind of guilt feeling there.
The main emotion I had when he was diagnosed was relief. And because I thought, well, we've got a starting block now, and we kind of sort of know what we're dealing with. I don't think I felt guilty. I felt a little bit, it was just shock. It was just kind of, right, what do we do next? And what are the implications of it, and, you know, all the different symptoms, and you just get sort of, you just have to get on with it, you know. It's not an easy ride, but you've got to make the most of it.
So when Katie was born, how long was it before she was diagnosed then?
She was 5 and a half, and Tom was 7.
Right, and had you no inkling again with the history of Tom that maybe something wasn't quite right with Katie?
I think I was in denial with Katie because she was a lot brighter in herself, and she was a lot more sociable and wanted to play with the other kids, and whereas Tom was never bothered about anything like that. And I thought, oh, well, she can't have it, even though she was displaying quite a few of the symptoms. Like she had the extra digits, which Tom had. And anyway, they said when Tom was diagnosed, they said we better send Katie for the eye tests. And when she went for those eye tests, they said that all the abnormalities that were present in Tom's eyes were also present in Katie's, and that was kind of them sort of confirming that she'd got it as well. And then from there, they said, you know, we better check her kidneys out, and then that's when we found out she was in end-stage kidney failure. So it's been an interesting ride.
You say interesting, but it must have been quite a traumatic ride, I would think.
The transplant I found really, really difficult, dealing with, you know, watching her get worse and worse. But I mean, now she's lucky enough to have had one successful transplant for 4 years, and she's like a different person. The eye thing, you know, they've never been able to see properly, and they just get on with it. They just don't let. I mean, Tom does park run, you know. Katie rides a horse. She's, you know, she's an outdoor swimmer. She's studying in a mainstream college, and to them, it's just their normal, I suppose. I think it's probably harder for us watching them, you know, with the canes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think because you and Steve, obviously, you want them to be independent, don't you?
Yeah.
But there's always that fear that you want to protect them as well.
Yeah, they're always going to be vulnerable, aren't they? And I think that's probably for us, that's one of the hardest things. But you've got to let them go.
What about friends growing up? Do they have some good friends?
They were educated in our little village school first, which is really absolute stereotypical North Yorkshire village school where they were wrapped in cotton wool and looked after. And Tom was in a group of eight, and he was the only boy, so he was just completely mollycoddled through primary school. And he's still got a couple of his best friends still from primary school. They're still really, really friendly. And then going through St Aidan's in Harrogate, they went to mainstream school. Tom had a handful, I would say, of friends. Katie had more friends, yeah.
And what about now? Is like they're in adulthood now?
Now they're in adulthood. I mean, they sort of socialise with us quite a lot, actually. Katie has got nice college friends, and she's busy doing. She does guides, so she's a guide leader. So she plays in orchestra. So she's got a lot of friends and contacts through the activities that she does.
And Tom, I believe he likes music.
Tom loves music. Yeah. Tom loves. He's always up on his mixing music or putting playlists together and singing quite loudly.
So, you know, when you look back in the early days and you look now, do you think things are turning out much better than you perhaps first thought it might be?
I mean, I think they're both doing really, really well. We've pushed them out there, you know, it's easy to say, well, they can't see, so therefore they can't do anything. But we were determined that wasn't going to happen. The worry never goes away for the future. I can't say that has changed, because it certainly hasn't. But you've just got to make the most of where you are, and that's what I think we do, and it's certainly what they do.
And I suppose as a parent, every parent has to go through this, isn't it, where you gradually let your children make their own decisions. You might stand back and go, oh, that's
not... Yeah, not sure about that one, but yeah. But yeah, you've got to let them do it. And actually, sometimes it doesn't work out, and then you've got to scoop them up and dust them off and say, well, let's try something different.
What did you do for support yourself over the years, you and Steve?
I've got a handful of really lovely friends, which is great, and great parents. And the Body Beadle Society, obviously I've met a load of people through that who absolutely, completely understand everything that we go through, and we understand everything that they go through. So that's like a lifeline, really, for the people that suffer from BBS, and also for parents, definitely. So I've got friends I could just text or ring up and go, you're not going to believe what's happened now. And it's so, you know, it's we do have quite a nice little network around us.
Because I don't think it's uncommon, actually, that perhaps if you're living with sight loss, or you have a child that's diagnosed with some disorder like this, that sometimes the friends that you had originally sometimes don't really know how to cope with this and tend to sort of distance themselves, and you have to...
Oh yeah, we've had all that.
Yeah,
we've definitely had that. And some people sort of want to pat you on the back and tell you what a fantastic job you're doing. We've had all that as well. You certainly learn who your proper friends are.
And at the end of the day, it's you, Steve, and the kids, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, one unit, really.
So for other parents that perhaps are facing something similar, what kind of advice would you give to them? Because there must be certain times that where things have been really dark for you, I would think.
I would say accept all the help you're offered. on from the professionals and also from your friends and family. Surround yourself with good people and, try and make the most of it because it ain't going to change. And it's tough. It is tough. It's not easy. Feel proud of who they are because, they are amazing.
And although that you want to always protect them, you've got to try and help them to be independent.
I think that's really important. I think that's important for them. And I think it's important for us, to see them sort of surviving a little bit on their own out in the world. I would say also push for anything that you think is, what this apprenticeship that Tom secured, that's been I've pushed for that. I've had a lot of nice people around me helping me, but there's nothing that they can't do because they can't see. They should. Why shouldn't they work? Why shouldn't they be able to go out in society and do what they want to do? So, don't let people saying they can't do this because they can't see affect you because it's just rubbish.
Yeah, because sometimes the pressure's on for those of us with visual problems that we have to sort of prove ourselves and work a bit harder, I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah. So where would you say would be the best place then for a bit of advice on the Bardet-Biedl syndrome?
Yeah, so there is a website which is www.lmbbs.org.uk, and there's a wealth of information about not only about the syndrome on there and the charity, which is a charity which supports people and families of people living with BBS. But there's also some contacts on there if anybody wants to get in touch. I think my name might be on there. Certainly, there's a handful of names and telephone numbers and quite a lot of information on there.
What about social media? Do you use that at all?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, which is BBS UK, I think. I'm not sure about Twitter, but there's definitely a Facebook page.
Right, and again, it's taking that first step, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And the Facebook page is lovely, though.
Yeah, no, well, that's some good places to start there.
Yeah.
Emma Oates, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I wish Steve and Tom and Katie and yourself the best for the future. Thank you so much for sharing your life.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.